was the next page. The first reading is taken from Galatians chapter 3, verses 23-29, on page 1170 of the Bibles. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor male, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Christ, then, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Be able to turn the page in a minute. There we go. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had come to the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he'd broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, into him. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. Those tending the pigs saw what had happened. They ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. The demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. Those who'd seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured and had gone out, begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." When I see in the Old Testament the book of Nehemiah, or in the New Testament the book of Galatians, there's a sort of a magnet that draws me to them. And here we go today. The demon-possessed man, I'm afraid, didn't get a lot of thought as I prayed. I was stuck. Galatians, an inspired book. Paul says, "The gospel I preach is not something that map. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received..." Just reading the words we've read this morning, only just half a dozen verses, I asked myself, how could somebody just sort of dream up those verses? Read up, and the stories in the New Testament, and of course, one tends to start in the Gospels. If you're going to read the Bible, it's a good place to start. But then people quibble and say, "Oh, but there's little differences in stories in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John," and they niggle away. But boy, you come to Galatians and read what this man Paul. Now, Paul was an academic, yes, but to read this with these words, "The gospel I preach is not something that man made up. I haven't received it from any man. I was taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus," teaching what he's telling the people in Galatia is of God. And he himself is clear about it. "Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God from God. Very difficult for anyone to deny it. Why did Paul write it? Well, he wrote it not to a church in Galatia, but to the churches. If you look at the very beginning, it says written to the churches in Galatia. And it was a furious Paul in chapter 1, verse 6. I'm astonished, he says he, astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. He certainly wasn't pulling his punches. Some of the people in Galatia there had been pulling away these new Christians, those who'd got a faith in Jesus Christ, and were even suggesting in some cases that Gentiles ought really to convert to being Jews, and then, having converted to being Jews, they could follow the law that Moses laid down, and then out of following the law, they could have faith in Jesus Christ. The train that was there, and people were being caught up in this mode of thinking. You see, the law and the promises, just quickly to get us through that one so we can see this passage a bit better. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture doesn't say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. Abraham had that promise given to him that your seed, Christ. And then, says Galatians, 430 years later, Moses appeared on the scene. The Israelites were straying, they were wandering. You've only got to look at the Old Testament to see that they were abandoning in many their worship of God. And so Moses brought in the law, the Ten Commandments, to give them, the Israelites, some reason in their life, something as a yardstick. That's what it came to Abraham, that 430 years later is sort of washed out by somebody else. You can't do that. It's like a will, says Paul. You make a will, and that will stands. People can't come along later and change it. So the law came into being in order to help and to guide the children of Israel, but it didn't in any way deny that promise to Abraham. The scripture doesn't say unto seeds, meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. That promise was given. That promise was given. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not, says Paul. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. So the law, the Ten Commandments, came into being in order forward to Christ. The righteousness, the faith, was something which was still very much in being. See, Paul says, before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law. Before Jesus Christ came, we were bound by the law. We were locked up because the law had boundaries and we had to live by that law. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners, locked up until that could be revealed. Lifestyle, you see, comes from faith. Rather, we don't follow the law and then get to a point. It comes from our faith. It's our faith in Jesus Christ that leads us. People have said that to me. It's okay for you, okay. You know, you're a nice guy, you're good living that life. It's in a box. Be like that. It disturbs me when people talk about sort of purgatory. That it's not like that at all. It's faith. Let me just read from Matthew chapter 19, a little passage that it. Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor." That's Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" Why? There's only one who is good. If you enter life, obey the commandments. Which ones? The man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, father and mother, love your neighbor." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor." The problem, probably 8 out of 10, I should think, he might have been marked, Beloved, said Jesus, go and sell all your possessions. Ah, well, that was the stump church in Galatia. The church is in Galatia. So it's not a matter of a report card, only the... Verse 27, the passage we just looked at. For all of you who are baptized have clothed yourself with Christ. Sorry about that. But, you know, you don't... I have actually taken a precaution there, but I, but so you're saying, oh, but you know, they're queuing already, and you need to be there by at least got a ticket. Now, you know, I apologise for it being a silly illustration, but it doesn't half tell the story. It isn't a matter of queuing all night in order to get in. It's not a matter of living a good life that enables us, and as we meet God, our Father, what he sees are the clothes. Whether you will just fail and have to wait for a few hours, no. Our trust in Jesus Christ, it goes way back to the promise given to Abraham. We are all one in Christ. See, last bit of this chapter, many who are first will be loved. An exalted position, way up there, we say, my goodness, we bow down to a different gospel. And it's no gospel at all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Paul. Thank you for this great letter. All the sweat of the law, the worry of the law, the report